If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hello, hello. This is a preview of the coverage that we're doing of UK versus the World that is over in the premium feed. Episode 1 aired on Friday, and this is me chatting with Eurovision legend Niamh Kavanagh about the episode. There's about 12 minutes of the episode. If you want to hear the full thing, head over to Headstuff Plus at headstuffpodcast.com. You can sign up for €5 a month and you'll get all of our past episodes, and you can stay on top of the coverage that we're going to do over in the premium feed of UK versus the World. So here's your preview. It is a new day in the workroom. It is a new season of Drag Race UK. This time it's Versus the World, and I have a global superstar herself, Niamh Kavanagh, to join me to get into this episode. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much, Cian. Not feeling as global as I thought I would right this moment. Okay. Give me long enough with the, you know, with enough baked goods, I could be very get global.
Okay. Right. So, full disclosure, this is your first episode of Drag Race ever.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Why wait?
Do you know what? It's so weird, right? I cannot believe I've got this far without it, because quite frankly, I've discussed elements of it in the sense of, you know, obviously in rehearsal rooms or whatever, you know, I came across people, and obviously when I'm in the room with lots of people, we talk about RuPaul and the Drag Race and everything. So there's lots of references in my life, but I've never actually seen it. It's a little bit like some of the, you know, the soaps years ago, EastEnders. I used to read them because I didn't have time to watch anything. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't even watch myself on TV. So, you know, so, but actually having said that, I did squeeze in like one series of Love Island at one point. So if I can deal with the trauma of that, surely. Surely. I never miss Strictly. I always record it. So obviously, the biggest problem I have is I don't need new addictions in my life, right? And I can barely fit the ones I have. And I have a bad feeling after watching this now. I'm going to have a new addiction.
I'm just about catching up
on the Queer Eye. You know what I mean? Like, it's just really hard.
That's how I feel about The Housewives. I feel like there's a lot of things in there that I would enjoy, but like, my brain is filled with obscure queens who came out fourth in, you know, Drag Race Down Under season 2 that I don't need a whole lot of women I don't know.
No, I completely understand that. Now, mind you, the drag world, I love it. So I don't know why I haven't embraced it. I think sometimes because I don't live at that level of glamour. I love the drama, though.
I
love the drama. I have opinions. I mean, I watch Strictly every year, and quite frankly, I have opinions. But I'm not a dancer. Anybody who knows me will know that, you know, choreography makes my head melt. So quite frankly, but I do have very strong opinions about it. So yeah, I suspect by the end of this, I'll have very strong opinions.
Because when you and I were kind of conceiving recording this episode together at the Podcast Awards,
darling.
I mean, you were talking about like your exposure to drag, and you kind of named all the four, like the four kind of biggest Irish drag queens, and I mean, you described their drag in such a succinct and like expert way. I was like, you will have no problem with this show.
What did I say? I describe how I feel when I'm with them, and I absolutely adore them, you know. And actually, I've met a lot of drag queens. I mean, when I first started growing up, the only drag queens I ever saw technically were, you know, Danny LaRue, Hinge and Brackett. Yeah, I mean, I that doesn't seem like drag right now, but you know, the truth is that's my youth. That's where we were. And they were clever. They were, you know, they were camp, they were glamorous, but Hinge and Brackett were funny. You know, they really got, I mean, they did the Edwardian lady thing or Victorian lady. I love that whole kind of twittery thing. So, I mean, for me, drag is about representing who you are, what you want to represent. But every artist that gets on stage, it's exactly the same. You know, Niamh Kavanagh is Niamh Kavanagh on stage, but like Niamh Kavanagh and a little bit more. You know, obviously, if you're sitting here having a cup of tea with me, you'll get an element of who I am, but not as fabulously fab as I am on stage. You know what I mean? There's
Stage.
a very different thing, you know. So it's kind of people often remark on how I am myself. So I think drag queens bring the drama, or they either bring an element of themselves augmented, but I think that's what you do. I think that's what fame or stage does. You augment a part of yourself that appeals to people, and they want to either identify or admire or detest it. You have to get a strong emotion out of people, and I think that drag kind of is part of that, you know. So
100%.
I love it.
So I guess as we go to the Queens, I'm really interested because obviously you not only have you been in Eurovision, you've been around, every year
Sure.
almost, in and out, in and out. I'd love to know whether the drag that you saw on this show kind of aligns with the sort of like music and culture of the different countries that we saw in this episode.
Oh God, elements of it, yes. I mean, wait till we get to the French one. I have words.
Okay, well, let's just dive right in, right? So this is
Lovely.
your first time seeing any of these queens. We'll chat to them briefly as they walk in, and I just kind of want a first impression. I
Beautiful.
gave you a bit of a cheat sheet
You
just
did.
so you kind of had a bit of context going into this.
Okay.
I was probably more candid in the cheat sheet than I will be on this because they're never going to see the cheat sheet.
Unless I inadvertently advertise. Ian,
expose
how much
me.
money are we going to get involved
Okay, so first in was Tia Coffee in her leopard sort of bondage look. And sort of UK versus the World season one, the queens came in by country, so all the UK queens came in first, and then Holland and stuff like that. But they kind of mixed them up this year, and I don't know if it was for better or for worse. But irregardless, what did you think of Tia Coffee?
I really like the vibe of Tia. It reminds me of a couple of the drag queens I probably would have met early on in my career, in the sense that my first experience, in a weird way, there's a naivety about Tia Coffee, but actually a real charm.
Yeah,
You know, I think
absolutely.
there's really charm about Tia. I kind of really liked the vibe of them the whole way through the series, but when they were coming in, it got that kind of was giving me the Cher look with the big hair and the leopard skin and the thing. And I thought the look was good. It was, you know, it was accomplished. It was
Okay,
nice. Yeah. I don't think I went, wow, you know, but I quite liked who they were. Like, and
exactly.
Tia gave me something kind of likable, which I want that. I want an element of humor as well. And what I quite liked was the generosity about what was coming next.
So like Tia kind of speaks about coming seventh, but seventh kind of doesn't do justice to how well she did in that like season two of the UK was absolutely huge. It aired in early 2021. It was peak lockdown. It was just a really high standard season. People absolutely adored it. And although like there were queens who beat her, people would struggle to remember their names as quickly as they would
Yeah,
Tia
it's not
Coffee.
always about
She
winning. It's about how the impact
Exactly.
that you make. It's kind of not unlike Eurovision in that sense. So sometimes you remember the winner, sometimes you don't. The avid fans will remember elements of things, but sometimes it's not about the winning. It's about the impact that you make, or how you kind of interact. But yeah, I really liked the engagement of this person, and the hair was a bit, you know, definitely 80s Cher, you know, so I could definitely relate to that 80s 90s, you know. I was waiting for that whole thing, you know, where they're kind of sitting on the, you know, in turn back time when they're in the naval place.
Oh, and she's on the cannon.
Yeah, I was getting that vibe. I'm not sure if
Anaconda
that was
was
what he
in.
was going for, but
I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know what if they're going for that either. I don't know. Anaconda was in next. And from so runner up in season two of Down Under. Very funny. Really gorgeous sort of blue, light blue and pearlescent gown. And I think something about Anaconda that people forget is because she's so funny and charismatic, people don't appreciate the quality of her aesthetic because she's looks really, really good.
I agree completely. I love the whole energy of it. Now, don't get me wrong, Australian humour is right up my street, right? I love that element of, you know, there's like very basic humour, but also there's subtlety to it, in the sense that, but it's really, really funny. I
I
love
mean,
humour.
where's the subtlety in kick it in the
Kick him in the
dick?
dick. That is
Oh yeah,
not to be your
subtle.
ringtone, Keane. I'm going to tell you that as a national treasure, that's not allowed. But There's no subtlety to it, but there's actually, I know what you mean. I kind of find it, I love that kind of sarcastic thing, you know, because actually I raised my kids on that level of sarcasm, really. I love that whole thing of humor through sarcasm, you know, because actually there's a fondness in it when you use it, because you can say quite a lot, but I just love the energy of Hannah.
Hannah.
Hannah Condit.
Hannaconda,
I know, I keep thinking of the snake situation. I know that's a whole thing. But
yeah.
Hannah, yeah, no, I like the energy here, but you're right, absolutely beautiful. Really kind of the makeup was amazing, the dress was fabulous, the colors were great. And I love that the like Hannah plays to who she is in drag. Like it's just like really fab. Lovely. I really loved it. I love that whole energy about her. I think let me see, what did I write here? I wrote my little notes. I was so good. I was so good. I have to go down and find them when she came in. Well, there she is. Yeah, I do you know what it is? I didn't expect her to be kind of, you know, so classic. You know, she was kind of classic drag for me in some ways, but actually she has great humor, and I really like that.
Yeah, it's a really strong balance. From Spain, next is Arancha Castilla-La Mancha, whose name was a bet into us in the talent show, so we all know how to pronounce it. She was
I'm
in,
still
still
deciphering,
learning.
you know, there's a
Yeah.
little bit of, you know, Freud going on with that situation
I
there.
think when James and I covered this season, he kept calling her Anthraxa. So
There might have been a
I shouldn't.
reason.
Oh, yeah. She came in a yellow and black latex catsuit with some white and black sort of tulle frill kind of from the waist down. And I'd actually forgotten that she had come out as trans since her season as well, which was kind of nice to hear. And I hope we hear more of that sort of story and
Yeah.
transition as we go through. I wrote in my cheat sheet that I don't think she I feel okay saying this because she kind of said it herself. She didn't write achieve a certain level of polish in her season, but she was a real fan favorite because she was just so charismatic and lovable. But it seems like that, she's got some budget and she's got some nice fashion this time around.
Yeah, well, you would hope that they kind of moved on from the previous years. I can't relate because obviously I only saw clips based on, you know, when they were doing the thing. I was seeing little clips going back to them. Yeah, there's an element of that. There's kind of she's a little bit dominant in some of the things that when they're talking, you know, when it kind of people are interacting, you see she's kind of trying to get the dominant in there. But I'm not sure about her. For me, you know,
Okay.
she's only okay to me.
That's fair enough. That's
You know,
fair.
I think, funny enough, there was bits of it I liked. If we're just talking about the initial impression, you know, the wig was a bit, you know, and by the end of the introduction of everybody, I think the makeup was starting to get a little bit. It reminded me basically at most pride events after a gig, you know, in most of the selfies that people take of me, the very end and there is not quite sitting. Is that
Those are
harsh?
warm lights.
Is that
Warm lights.
harsh?
No, I
There was
mean,
no filter.
I don't think that's that harsh, to be honest.
Wasn't
may have
polished. Is
may
that polished? Is it kind of, you
it
know,
was I think it was less polished than some of the others.
yeah. So to be fair, and you're up again some very polished, like
Yeah,
super polished,
great. Yeah,
and
definitely.
so you kind of get to that point and you kind of go, ooh. You're on the big stage now,
If you want
girl.
to hear the rest of the episode, head over to headstuffpodcast.com. You can sign up for €5 a month and you can support myself and Niamh over there. Her podcast is called Agony Rants. And you can enjoy the rest of the content to your heart's content. I shall see you there.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.